Welcome to the first of our inflammatory arthritis podcasts that we're recording as part of the RCGP and British Society for Rheumatology Spotlight project around early inflammatory arthritis. So this project was set up to help GPs and patients recognise inflammatory arthritis early. And we know that's really important because we know that the sooner early inflammatory arthritis is picked up, the better patients do, the better patients get into treatment, the less pain and disability they have. We know from national audits that this isn't happening as often or as quickly as we'd like. We know that less than 20% of patients are referred into rheumatology within the national standard guideline target of 3 working days. So really, we're here today to talk about this, to try and help educate GPs and patients as to how they can do this more effectively and more efficiently. So I have some colleagues with me today. I have Dr. Richard Haig, who's a consultant rheumatologist at the Royal Devon Exeter Hospital. I have Jill Moran, who's our senior specialist nurse. And most importantly, I have Jane Ely, who's a patient who's very kindly agreed to come in today and talk to us about her diagnosis of inflammatory arthritis. So, Jane, over to you as the star of the first of our podcasts. I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your symptoms and how they first came on and how you first noticed that something wasn't right.
I probably noticed about 18 months ago. I had pins and needles in my hands and numbness in my hands. And then part of my job is we run a tea garden, and I'm in the kitchen a lot using various bits of equipment, and I was finding it harder and harder to open jars to use the equipment. But didn't really think anything of it. And then we had a particularly busy day, and for some reason I had a sore foot, which didn't go away really all summer. And because of that, then my knees began to hurt, and I assumed it's because I was walking inappropriately because I'd hurt my foot. And nothing got any better. Then towards the end of the summer, I did go to my GP and we discussed it. Maybe my hands were carpal tunnel syndrome. So we decided to leave it for the moment, because once we were closed, I wasn't going to be using my hands all the time again, and it might calm down. So and in fact, that's what happened. It wasn't so bad again. The next summer, when we opened again in May, very quickly, I was feeling really poorly quite fast. I was feeling tired. I just couldn't put my finger on what was wrong. I felt like I'd got jet lag a lot of the time. We went on holiday to Italy, and that's when I really had a problem. My hands swelled up, my feet swelled up, my knees swelled up. I found it incredibly difficult to get in and out of the car. And then when we came home, I saw my GP, who gave me a blood test and various other tests, and that came back negative for rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. So I dismissed, really. I didn't think that, you know, because not knowing that, you know, you can get false readings, I just put it to the back of my mind and didn't think about it. Although I was still then, from that time, which was probably 10 days from us having the first blood test to me seeing the doctor again, I was in very serious pain. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't get in the bath. I couldn't get out of the bath. It felt like somebody had stamped all over my hands and my legs. Mm-hmm. And it was from nowhere. And I think that was the shocking thing. It was from feeling a little bit off and a little bit fluey. And I thought it was a bug or something.
And then things really accelerated. Absolutely. Your joints started to swell.
Yeah, incredibly. Okay. I've never known anything like it.
So it's interesting that started off like a stone rolling down a hill with some, you know, aches and pains and hands and feet that didn't feel quite right.
Yeah.
And started to accelerate, and then your joints started to swell, and that's when you really started to notice that things weren't right.
Yes.
Interesting that you felt quite fatigued and tired, because patients with inflammatory arthritis often feel like that. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, it was I say, very much like jet lag, and it was the kind of tiredness, even if you lie down, you're almost not sleepy. Mm-hmm. You just have that overwhelming, swaying sensation, and I say, just like jet lag. It's as though somebody's wrapped a duvet around you and said, now get on with your day.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to describe.
Sounds really disabling.
Very disabling, and very difficult for somebody else to understand, because they say, if you're tired, why don't you just lie down? Yeah. Well, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, okay.
That was quite... It was frightening, but it was weird frightening, because, you know, there's other things out there that it could have been, and you know, you don't know.
And given this had been building over 12 to 18 months, what was the trigger that made you go to your doctor?
It would have been in Italy because I really couldn't walk very far, and the swelling.
Yeah, and you saw your doctor. You did some blood tests, and they were normal, which is interesting in the background of an inflammatory arthritis, because we know a third of all people with inflammatory arthritis will present with normal blood tests.
Yes.
What was the trigger that helped you and your doctor decide that you should be referred into hospital?
I think, actually, because when we were in Italy, we met friends of ours, and our friend is a GP, and he took one look at me and said, you need to be referred.
Yeah, OK.
So the minute you get home, phone me, and so it was him that really, that was really him looking at my hands and saying, you need to see somebody, you need to be referred.
Good. And then your doctor saw you and referred you in to our local hospital.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that and what happens when you came in to see us.
It was all very straightforward, and it was very clear and very quick, and I just had, they did a lung test and moved my joints around and my hands, and a diagnosis was made very quickly.
Good. And you went on to some treatment, didn't you, after you were diagnosed?
I went on to steroids immediately, and they worked immediately.
Good.
Absolutely, I couldn't believe. I went from feeling so awful and immobile to being able to move the next day as
Brilliant.
Though nothing was wrong again. It was, I'd never seen anything like it.
Brilliant. So if we think about that, how did your GP help during that process?
She was very sympathetic and very quick at doing everything that needed to be done and getting me to have the x-rays down at the local hospital and all that sort of thing. No, she was brilliant.
Yeah, so it sounds like your GP picked up any symptoms very quickly.
She said you need to be referred immediately. So there wasn't much of a gap.
And so you came into the early synovitis clinic and was seen and had some treatment very quickly. How did that make you feel, that diagnosis?
I was very shocked and very upset and still amazingly surprised, because I think because the blood test had come back negative, you've got this little voice in your head that says, well, it can't be because the blood test came back negative. And then when, the actual words rheumatoid arthritis were used, it did take a while to sink in, because for me, it came out of nowhere. It's not in the family. I'm the fittest I've ever been, probably. I was running, 2-3 kilometres at the gym, swimming all the time, and suddenly to be told that you've got this autoimmune disease, which, although I've heard of it, but I had no real understanding of what that meant.
Yeah.
And it was very important to me to understand, what that meant. And in the first day or so of having been diagnosed, bad idea to Google things, I know, but oh yes, I did, and scared myself silly.
Yeah.
But you need to know, what does that mean? Yeah. It's something that, as a layman who's never really been poorly in my life, what does that mean?
It's a huge change, isn't it, to go from somebody who is very healthy to being told that you have a disease which is going to be with you for the rest of your life. Thankfully, lots of our treatments mean people are now very fit and very active with their arthritis, but it certainly does have an impact on life.
So, and also not really for now, possibly, because now I feel strong and in control, and medication has moved on tremendously from what I understand from various people, but it's for the future, because it's so unknown, and it sounds as though it's the sort of condition that it's different within everybody, and that's the scary bit. It's not the now, it's what happens next.
So it sounds like there have been physical problems with your arthritis, but there's also been quite a mental challenge as well in accepting that diagnosis.
Certainly in the first couple of weeks, I was really angry and I wanted to know how. I never thought, why me? I just, how has this happened? How, was it something I did over the years? Did I not floss my teeth properly? Did I eat too much yoghurt? What did I do that has accumulated in me getting this?
Yeah.
And there doesn't seem to be an answer to that.
Tell me a little bit about work. What impact had it on work?
Well, at the moment it's an ongoing impact because, it's a husband and wife team. We've only been open for a couple of years doing what we do. My husband had heart problems and so we semi-retired, if you like. and decided to do what we had got planning permission to do, which was run a tea garden. And it was really popular, and so hence we were really busy, which is good. But it is me in the kitchen, and I'm just not sure whether we're going to be able to do it again. Mm-hmm. Because when I have good days, I feel positive and healthy, and I think yes, I can get on and do it. But then the days that I have, you know, when I can't move as well as I would like to be able to, I just think there's no way on earth I'm going to be able to be in the kitchen for that length of time and doing what I do.
So a really profound effect on the way.
Very much so, and I simply don't know what we're going to do in a month's time, because I just don't know whether we'll be able to do it or not. I'm waiting to see.
So thinking about how life is now, how are your joints on a day-to-day basis now?
Up and down, it varies. Today it's really good. I feel, you know, really well today. Yesterday and the day before I didn't. So, and it moves around. So one day it'll be my hands that hurt and I can't close them. The next day they'll be fine and it'll be my feet that hurt.
Yeah.
So it's just variable.
Yeah. And I've been guilty there of saying, tell me how your joints affect you. Because we know that rheumatoid is not just a disease of the joints. It affects a lot of systems in the body. We talked a bit about fatigue and issues like that earlier. Yeah. Is that still an issue for you?
It is. It doesn't seem to be as bad as it was in the first instance. But I don't know whether that was the steroids or whether it is part and parcel of the disease. But certainly it's still there to a certain point, to a certain amount, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really helpful. Okay. And I think, Richard, we've heard a fantastic story there from Jane about the effect that a diagnosis of inflammatory arthritis like rheumatoid or ankylosing spondylitis or psoriatic arthritis can have on a patient's life. And that's why we're here today, to try and improve that. As we spoke about earlier on, we know that early diagnosis of inflammatory arthritis makes a massive impact on a patient's disease course, that it can reduce pain, reduce symptoms. They need the chance of their joints being damaged is much lower.
Indeed. And
we're here today to think about how we can help GPs achieve that. So from a rheumatologist perspective, how would you help, or what symptoms do you think a GP could look for that would help them diagnose inflammatory arthritis early?
Okay, I think the cardinal symptoms and signs are pain, stiffness and swelling. So I think the minute you hear that, especially if it's in hands and feet, I think that should really alert a GP to thinking about inflammatory arthritis.
Okay. So I'm a GP, I'm set in my surgery, and a pain patient comes in with a story very much like Jane's, of joints that had previously been very healthy, that started to become more sore and more swollen and stiff. What should the GP do at that point?
Okay, so another thing to do is to think about the distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the wrists and the knuckles are involved, so that's the wrists, the MCPs and the PIPs are involved, and the soft tissue swelling there, I think that is an immediate referral to hospital.
Okay.
I don't think anything more needs to be done before you make that referral.
Okay.
It can be, of course, very helpful to have a set of blood tests. So you know there is a bit of inflammation, you know what kidney function's like if you're thinking about drugs, you know what liver function's like. It's also useful to have some x-rays, if it's possible, to have some x-rays in advance. But that mustn't get in the way of sending a patient to hospital.
Okay.
And in fact, many centres, including ours, we're lucky enough, we can do blood tests and x-rays on the day. We have access to specialist nurses on the day. And with a fair wind, we have access to pulmonary function tests if we need to do those pre-methotrexate. So most places should be thinking of being set up to deal with a patient with a sort of one-stop shop.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can do all of those things, but knowing that a patient's got normal full blood count, renal liver function, for me to start, you know, recommend starting a drug is really useful.
Yeah. But it sounds very much like you're saying that it's that clinical suspicion that's really important.
Clinical suspicion is that's what's needed. If you're not sure, I still think it's worth sending a patient in for early arthritis clinic.
Yeah.
You may want to, if a patient's had much more long-standing symptoms, if there is a query about osteoarthritis, you might be able to just wait a little bit and think about something else. But I think generally speaking, if you have pain, stiffness and swelling and it involves the wrists and the MCPs, I think that's a referral immediately.
Yeah, okay.
Some of the good clues are soft tissue swelling. So it's that bogginess around the joints, that softness when you palpate joints, as opposed to that hard boniness that you see in osteoarthritis. And I think the MCP and the MTP squeeze are really useful as well. You've got to be careful with the MTP squeeze in the foot, that you don't squeeze a sore bunion on a big toe.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, if you squeeze across MCPs and MTPs, and that's uncomfortable, I think that's a really good hint that this is inflammatory arthritis. And the studies have been shown in early arthritis clinic for us. That's one of the good predictors that it may turn out to be rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, OK. And just tell us a little bit about blood tests. We had a fantastic description from Jane that despite having a new inflammatory arthritis, her blood tests were entirely normal.
Absolutely. If you only have a small amount of inflammation in your small joints, you will only make signals to the liver to make CRP, to make a small amount of CRP, and that may not be picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So a normal CRP is entirely consistent with a new diagnosis of inflammatory arthritis.
Okay.
Of course, if you suspect inflammatory arthritis and your patient has a CRP of 30, that is very useful indeed, because that confirms your suspicion, but it does not... You know, a normal CRP does not exclude inflammatory arthritis.
Sure,
likewise, a half of people that come to early arthritis clinic that eventually have a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis have a negative rheumatoid factor.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, plenty of chronic diseases and smoking will give you a positive rheumatoid factor.
Yeah.
So again, the rheumatoid factor positivity or negativity, I don't think sways you one way or another when you're not sure. If you've got a patient with swollen joints in the distribution of rheumatoid arthritis, a positive rheumatoid factor helps everybody.
Yeah.
It helps us prognosticate. It helps us confirm the diagnosis.
OK. So the real take home there is that it's that spidey sense, that clinical suspicion that you think, actually, this isn't quite right.
Absolutely. As Jane described, if someone who's normally fit and well and doesn't always have aches and pains comes and says, look, my hands and feet are sore and stiff and I'm feeling under the weather, of course there could be many causes of that, but I think you've got to have that suspicion. Is this inflammatory arthritis?
Yeah.
You've got to have that question there.
Yeah. And we know now that urgent referral, that getting people into early synovitis clinic really quickly, getting people onto steroids and DMARDs early really improves their outcomes.
Absolutely. I do have a number of patients that the only time they've ever had inflamed joints is at the time that they've been to see their general practitioner. And then once they're with us with good treatment, they may be asymptomatic for many moons.
Yeah.
And we have many patients now that have come off treatment even. I can't promise that to a patient, but we've even had some people who've had rheumatoid arthritis that after 4 or 5 years are starting to ask us, can I come off treatment now?
Yeah.
And they've done so successfully.
Brilliant. So coming back to Jane, so that's a really positive story, isn't
it,
in the background of your recent diagnosis, that
we're
now treating arthritis early and aggressively and getting people into what we would describe as remission, so having little or no symptoms at all. Thinking about your journey, your story, What could have improved that? How could your GP or your doctors have helped make that smoother?
To be honest, I don't think that there was anything, because for me it seemed to be quite straightforward and it went really quickly as well. From the time that, you know, I began to really think I had a problem and it wasn't just general aches and pains and going to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
it was probably only about 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
So that's pretty quick, I thought.
And we will hopefully have patients listening to this podcast, people who are thinking, I might have rheumatoids. What would you suggest they do?
We'll just go straight to the doctor and just explain all the symptoms. And because, you know, in my case, it was quite clear, I think, that, you know, there was a problem because everything was so swollen up and I was in so much pain. You know, if it wasn't that, it was going to be something, you know, possibly worse. So, just get to the doctor.
Brilliant, thank you. So we are very lucky in rheumatology. We do have some fantastic patient charities who support our patients. The National Rheumatoid Arthritis Society are very helpful. Their website, if you search NRAS, N-R-A-S, is very easily accessible. The National Ankylosing and Spondylitis Society, NASS, N-A-S-S, again, can be hugely helpful. Within the RCGP and the British Society for Rheumatology, we've worked really hard to develop some resources for GPs and patients. We've recently developed a toolkit for GPs to help them recognise inflammatory arthritis early. There's a huge amount of information there about how to diagnose the disease, how to recognise it early, how to refer early, and how to help treat patients when they've been diagnosed. Entering the Royal College of GPs Inflammatory Arthritis Toolkit into any search engine should bring that up. So, to summarise, we've heard a little about Jane's presentation with rheumatoid arthritis, how it built early, how tiredness was a really important part of that, and how building joint swelling, stiffness, particularly in the small joints of the hand and wrist, is really, really important. We've heard from Richard about how early referral and diagnosis is really critical. And really, it's the story and the examination that are a really important part of that. Blood tests aren't necessarily that helpful in recognising early inflammatory arthritis, and we'd really encourage GPs to refer in early if they think inflammatory arthritis is an issue. Richard, are there any other clues that GPs might be able to pick up outside of the joints that might give an indication that inflammatory arthritis may be a diagnosis they should be excluding?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we wouldn't expect a general practitioner to fully examine a patient and ask a huge list of questions. I think examining the hands and asking them to kick off their shoes and socks to do the MTP squeeze and to have a look at the hands would be very, very useful. But I think there are some other things that might add to your suspicion and help you sort of think, yes, I should make that referral. So a patient with psoriasis may well have psoriatic arthritis, and there's a legion of ways psoriatic arthritis might present slightly differently to rheumatoid arthritis, but I think the presence of some nail changes and the presence of psoriasis or in a first degree family member is useful. And I think that some other extra-articular features such as uveitis and colitis might push us more to thinking of a spondyloarthropathy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, patients with rheumatoid arthritis, commonly, as Jane has eloquently described, fatigue and systemic symptoms of not feeling right. But I think dry eyes and dry mouth. Mm-hmm. I always ask about lumps and bumps because then a patient may remember that they've got a nodule at the elbow. Mm-hmm. We often ask about breathing. Mm-hmm. Because a number of autoimmune diseases, in particular rheumatoid arthritis, can also affect the lungs. And so I think there are just some extras to throw in if you feel you've got time or there's a strong suspicion. I think that's very, very useful.
So in summary then, to pull this all together, we've had a fantastic story from Jane. Thank you for sharing that with us about how rheumatoid and inflammatory arthritis can really build quite slowly from joint aches and pains to increasing swelling and stiffness in the small joints of the hands and feet. We've heard from Richard about how early diagnosis is absolutely crucial in this disease. The earlier we can get people onto treatment, the better they do. The less pain they have, the less chance there is of their joints being damaged. And we've heard about the crucial thing here is that spidey sense, that feeling that something isn't right, that a patient's joints are stiff and sore and swollen, and that should prompt an urgent referral. That blood tests can help when you see the patient in hospital, but they're not really going to help us make a diagnosis in primary care. So that draws to a close our first podcast, thinking about a patient's journey and a patient's perspective. In our second podcast, we're going to look at the role of the specialist nurse. Asbestos nurses can really help patients. We're going to think a little bit more about DMARDs and how GPs can help prescribe and monitor DMARDs safely, and also about annual reviews in rheumatoid arthritis. What should GPs be looking for in helping support their patients?